Howdy.
Nice.
Howdy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking forward to this call.
Me too. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, hey, everyone, this is Robin Mansell. We've had a nice little break, but we're going to get started up again. And I'm really excited about this guest that I have. I got to tell you guys a story about him and how I met him, and what better way to re-kick off. We've had a really successful podcast talking about business and entrepreneurship. And I really think the timing is so perfect for this. I think, post-pandemic, just post a lot of things, that this is timely to get to talk to you, Najee. So let me tell you guys how I met him. So there was a post, I can't even remember which, it's a popular podcast talking about ghosting, and there was a clip about ghosting and this gentleman's thoughts about ghosting. And so I was reading the comments, and I always go to the comments. And then I was reading different ones, and people had some different points, you know, how they felt about that. And then I get to this young man right here, and I'm reading his post, and it was just it totally stood out from what everybody was saying. And even though I probably should have known this, but I didn't, let's just say I didn't think of it this way that he put it. So I'll have him, but I'm gonna tell you what I remember. He said that their ghosting, for some people, is all they know. It is based on perhaps how they grew up, how the conversation or the ability to have healthy, comfortable conversations, that is something they learned. It was something that the way things were done perhaps in their family. And I never really gave it that kind of consideration because I'm such a verbal person. I just thought even if I'm not verbally saying it the right way, I'm still, I guess I felt like I'm communicating. But the way Najee put it, it just really opened my eyes to seeing things in a different way. And I'm big on that. I don't mind seeing things in a different way. I don't have to necessarily agree with everything, but I think it's important to see things from a different perspective. I guess that's the way I could say it. Mm-hmm. So I went to his page, because I always go to your page. Just so you know, if I'm following you on social media, or I see you on social media and you make a comment, I go straight to your profile to see who you are.
I do the same thing, so you're not alone.
Right? I see, is this a fake account? Mm-hmm. Who is this person? So anyway, went to his page, looked at a few of his reels, and I was like, okay, this brother guy, he is so deep. And I know people use that word, but I'm just saying. And I did a 15-minute consultation. I then had a paid session after that. And for me, it opened my eyes to things, and it's actually helped me to put the brakes on. Because I'm one of those people that, look, we need to talk about this. I don't run away from confrontation. I am head on right into it. And sometimes I don't always, you know, my verbal things that I say aren't necessarily. But what I have to tell you, Najee, because I don't think I told you this since our call, is help me to pause. And when I say that, I mean, typically, I'm not known for, you know that saying, they say fight or flight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm fighting.
Absolutely. You're a survivor. Yeah.
I'm fighting. I'm not running. I'm fighting. And so what you've done for me, and I like to say for me because you know how people like to generalize everybody. And we'll get into some of that, but I, for me, the conversation, the session was like filling in a void in an area that for whatever reason I had avoided. And so, young man, Mr. Najee, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody who you are, where you're from, and just kind of give them a little bio before, you know, we go into some questions that I can't wait to hear your answers.
Okay, thank you again for having me, first and foremost. My name is Naji Pritchett. I'm an emotional awareness specialist. I specialize in helping people learn how to properly regulate their emotions. So it's helping them learn to respond to how they feel versus react to how they feel. So a lot of times when it comes to like emotions, we never learn to properly regulate our emotions, so we learn to react. Therefore, I use it as two terms in regards to reacting. It's reacting as in doing the same thing over and over again, from an acting standpoint, acting out type of thing, and then reacting as a way to avoid from feeling how you actually feel about yourself. I'm from California. I've been doing this for like it's been like 2 years, but fully going into it and really learning about it. I started last year, in November. I quit my job and started doing this full time in regards to just helping people learn to properly regulate their emotions.
So tell us why that was important to you, because I don't know that I heard that put that way, regulate your emotions, which I think is powerful now. Regulate your emotions. I probably had a different thought about it, but why was that? What you felt was so important, or what you feel is missing? Why that term?
Just because of the aspect of regulating is more so to me is more so listening to what your body's trying to communicate to you versus reacting from it. So it's having the awareness to understand you're not your thoughts or your feelings, but you're the awareness to them. So when you understand that you're just the awareness to how you quote unquote think you feel or how your body is expressing to you how it's feeling, then you will start to understand, okay, let me pay attention to what my body's trying to communicate to me. Let me react or let me respond to it, which means to listen to what your body's trying to say to you, because the sensations that we feel is just our body's trying to communicate to us. And a lot of times what happens, especially when it comes to childhood trauma or any type of trauma, there's a disconnect, excuse me, between your mind and your body. So now your mind is trying to protect you from how your body feels, but your body feels that way for a reason. It's almost like your body's an alarm trying to tell you, I need help, I need help. And your mind is trying to disassociate you from how your body feels. So that's why the world is the way it is, because so many people learn to react from how they feel instead of responding to it.
React, respond. Those two words, react and respond. Tell us the difference.
So reacting is going away from. It's almost like I use the example like a little kid tapping on your shoulder or tapping on your leg, and they keep tapping. You're like, get away from me, okay? Leave me alone. Like I don't want to deal with you right now. It's your behavior is changing. You're getting frustrated with the kid because he keeps tapping on you, but the kid is only tapping on you to get your attention so it can let you know something's going on with it. And that's the responding aspect, is to okay. What's going on here with that little kid tapping there? That little kid is tapping on you for a reason. Your body is feeling this way for a reason. And a lot of times, what we think is the reason why our body is feeling this way is what our mind is telling us as a way to distract us from how we feel. So your mind is telling you the little kid is tapping because it thinks you're a bad person, or it thinks you're not enough, and it thinks this. It just creates these stories about why the little kid is doing it versus actually listening to why the kid is doing it in regards to the unconscious or in regards to how your body is feeling.
Okay, wow. I literally felt that. I so felt that because these, yeah, you know, like I'm taking notes. When I talk to you, you know I take notes, right? So I be writing down stuff and I gotta look. And so when you say because this is really, I think this is what's missing a lot of in our conversations. I think this is so when you say our body is trying to tell us something, right? Our body's trying to say something. Is that in any way tied to gut or instinct?
Yeah, in a sense, it is in a sense, but it happens with trauma. Trauma, I tell trauma is not what happened to you. It's what happens inside of you as a result of what happened to you. And I got that from Dr. Gabor Mate. It's the disconnect between your mind feeling safe in your body now. So when we're kids, we don't have the conscious awareness to understand, I'm feeling sad right now. Sadness means I'm alone. Sadness means I feel like I'm not enough. What that means to the mind, how the mind interprets that sensation, because your body feels that sensation first before the mind activates. So what the mind interprets that as, you're about to die. So when I feel this gut sensation, that means I'm about to die. So what happens, since the mind can't feel, what happens as a kid when your mom yelled at you, you felt that sensation of, okay, I'm in trouble, I'm not enough, she's about to whoop me. Your mind interpret that as, oh, you're about to die, so let me take you out of this experience. It's almost like when you're having a dream and you die in your dream, you wake up instantly before you. So that's what happens. So your mind takes you out of that experience before you can actually learn to regulate it. And regulating is listening to it. So when your mind takes you out of that experience, what your mind now registers, if I feel this sensation in my stomach, that means I'm about to die. So anytime somebody triggers you, quote unquote, which is an internal thing, anytime somebody triggers you, that sensation is what you feel first in your gut. That means I'm about to die. So I need to go in fight or flight. So now I need to, you, I need to blame, I need to project, I need to distract myself from how I actually feel, which is really that 5-year-old or that 3-year-old not actually knowing how to regulate itself, not knowing how to tell mommy, when you yelled at me, it made me feel like I was about to die. And now I don't feel safe. But what happens is, when mommy yells at you, you can't run, you can't fight or flight, you can't fight your mommy, you can't run, because it's in a household or your dad or whoever your guardian is. So what you do is, your body, your mind makes the sensation in your feeling, that in your gut or in your chest, it makes that sensation wrong. It Your mind now traps that hurt part, it locks it away in the closet. Like, for an example, it locks it away in the closet, and it closes the closet up and act as if that never happened. So now your behavior changes as a way to avoid from feeling that sensation that you feel inside your heart, that your mind, or inside your chest, that your mind is now associating to death. If you feel this means you're about to die. I don't want you to die. So let me distract, distract, distract. Let me make it about them. They need to change this. They need to do it. It's going to create stories as a way to distract you from how you feel.
Okay, so I want to give everybody an example of what connected for me when you said this, because I think I know when I talked to you, I told you I said I was holding some anger about some things, and a lot of that I realized after having a conversation was I was expecting people to communicate the way I do. Now, I'm not saying the way I communicate is correct. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I expected communication for me is comfortable. Like, I don't care how far it goes. I don't typically get emotional in conversations unless I feel disrespected.
So I can break both of those things down. So even when it comes to anger is a secondary emotion to hurt. So you only get angry when there's hurt there. So the anger is there to protect you. So again, your mind's gonna, that hurt, I don't want to feel that hurt. So let me get angry, react, 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 distract, distract, trying to take you away from that hurt part that you locked away. The hurt part is only there when you interpret another person making you, quote unquote, it's not even making you, revealing how you actually feel about yourself energetically. So usually it's associated to not enough, or I don't matter. It's usually one of those stories, I'm worthless, any of those stories. And that's what your mind is trying to protect you from, which is, in the mind's eyes, if you feel like you're worthless or you don't matter, that means you're about to die. That means you could be discarded. And so that's what your mind is protecting you from. So even when you get angry, it's not you're really getting angry with the external. The anger is just your way of trying to avoid from feeling the hurt that you already feel. I tell people this all the time. The emotion that you're most afraid to feel is the emotion that you continue to feel. That's why you're afraid of it. If you wasn't afraid to feel it, if you wasn't still holding on to it, if you wasn't still feeling that hurt, you wouldn't be afraid to feel the hurt. Because you understand that hurt is just a message to you. It's your way of trying, your body trying to communicate to you. But what we learned is, okay, we need to avoid from feeling this hurt, even though we know it's there. That's why we're trying to avoid from feeling it. So even with the disrespect, when you ask a person, how does someone disrespect you? If they're not actually touching you, are they saying words? Are they forcing you to do anything? So disrespect is another one of those things where I feel unsafe.
Yeah.
Unsafe to the body means I need to react. But are you actually unsafe in the external experience, or is an internal unsafety that you feel? And usually if it's not an external experience, it's an internal experience. And what I tell people is, ask yourself, am I about to die in this situation? And if you're not about to die in this situation, okay, that's one thing. If you're safe and you're not about to die, that's cool. But then ask yourself, okay, am I about to experience a lot of pain right now? External pain, physical pain. And if the answer is no, then it's like, okay, what's going on inside of you at that point? Because that's what you're angry about. You're angry about that. Your mind trying to distract you from that hurt part that this person revealed that was still inside of you that you've been trying to run away from.
So are we making it about the other person when we should be working on? Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, my brother, you see how you like where I was going with that was like, for people that are listening, what I got is that, you know, in case you missed that, it's really about us trying to control other people and how they behave. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Control is, again, is associated to hurt. So yeah. I tell people, you only want to make another person wrong so you can feel right. You realize you only want to feel right when you feel wrong already. You're overcompensating for the fact that you feel wrong to try to feel right.
Woo!
And that's what
I got my hand. I got my hand up, Naj. I got my hand. I accept that. And look, here's the thing. That's so powerful. It is so powerful because I think a lot of us, I mean, clearly we all have that, you know, you feel like you're not getting something that you need. In fact, even a conversation I was having earlier, I was explaining, I was talking to my son and I was saying, and I'm gonna say it because I trust you. You know, that's the thing too. You guys, look, when you get somebody, whether that be, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily quote unquote be therapist because that's not what Naji does. But
no, not at all. I'm not a therapist.
Right. Yeah. But whoever you are talking to, who you feel safe with, and I feel totally safe with talking to you. Just one of the first times I've felt that where I could say, a lot of people don't think they understand that, like where you can be yourself and say what you need to say or what you feel like saying. And then that person isn't attacking you. He's just giving you the analysis of, well, this is coming from this place. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I felt safe. That was one of the first things that I did. I had our 15-minute consultation, which we're going to let you know where to go so you can follow him. You can get your consultation, but I did the 15-minute consultation and then I did an hour. I, you know, came back and did that. So he gives you an opportunity to see whether or not he's your cup of tea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So I was like saying this to my son. I said this to my son today. I said, I'm guilty of what you said needing to be right in this particular situation. Oh, and I'm now from talking to you in a whole bunch of situations,
The thing is, your mind has to do, it has to protect you. So your mind has to create a villain and then your mind has to be the hero to the villain.
But
the
way
it is by distracting you from, again, how you feel. I tell people the mind is one of the most immature things on your body because you got to realize from the first 7 years of your life, the mind is still being developed based on external thing. It doesn't realize there's an internal thing going on within you too. So that's why a lot of people like to blame other people and make other people responsible for how they feel because when a child is crying, they don't know how to regulate their emotions. That's why they go to their parents. So what happens now as you become an adult, a lot of us are just emotionally unregulated children who never learned to properly regulate our emotions. So now when you become an adult, you feel a sensation in your body, but you can't turn to your parents to help you regulate it, because most of the time our parents never learn to regulate their emotions. So what they're trying to protect us from is the emotion that they feel within themselves that they never connected to. So now everybody's trying to run away or wanting somebody to soothe them or help them cope with how they feel, instead of learning to actually help them look within themselves to deal with it. I tell people, even with coping, everybody's giving you different methods. You need the mindset, you need to go walking, go do all these things as a way to avoid from listening to what your body's trying to express. So the coping is just you reinforcing the narrative that internally you're not safe. And I want to help people understand you are safe. You're just not listening, because your mind is telling you the sensation that you're feeling means unsafe. Unsafe to the mind means you're about to die. So let's distract. Let's change our mindset. Let's drink a lot of water. Let's do this. Let's do that. When in reality, the more you do that, the more you reinforce the narrative that you're not safe, because now you're trying to further push yourself away from that 5-year-old girl inside of you, that 10-year-old girl inside of you that never learned to accurately express what was going on for her. And now it's trying to get your attention, but you're making her wrong for it now.
Wow. Wow. You know what? Look, there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot, because I'm, like I said, I have to literally take notes to keep up with certain subjects I want to bring up. And it might be too much to do on this call. We may have to do several calls.
Hey, I'm down. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for that.
Because yeah, this is really good. So when I was saying earlier, I can hear now from listening what you're saying. I said to my son, I said, look, here's how I feel about things. That I said, when I can describe myself as ride or die. Like, I'm always there. I feel like I'm always there for everyone. Mm-hmm. When they need something, when they are challenged, I'm that one to come to, you know, lift them up and say, hey, keep going. Mm-hmm. You can do this, you know. And I told him, I said, and the issue I have is you knowing I'm there for you all the time and me not getting any consideration or communicate or not being seen for that. But you just told me what that's about, but I'm going to say it because I want to be transparent. And I said, I just want to be seen. Like, I don't care about being right. I just need the communication that says, I see you. I hear you. And I appreciate it. I said, that's all I am asking. And then I added, when I don't get that, I feel disrespected.
Absolutely. And it's so amazing, and I appreciate you for bringing that up. What you're really saying, I tell this to people all the time. A lot of times people are just talking to themselves and you're just there witnessing it. So what you were saying to him was really how you feel about yourself. So a lot of times when it comes to us showing up, I was the same way. Self-neglect was the first language I learned. And that was because of my little brother when I was younger. He's 3 years younger than me. And I learned to change my behavior to try to get my mom to love me based on how she was prior to my little brother being here. So I would do certain things, and kids only, especially when it comes to pain or seeing their parents in pain, kids only live in two stories, self-doubt and self-blame. So they make it about them. So it's my fault mommy was crying, or it's my fault daddy did this, or I should have did this differently, and then I would have got a different result. So we learn to change our behavior and make the parts of us wrong for being that way, because now we're associating, we hurt mommy, we hurt daddy. So what you were really saying in that is, I want to be seen because I'm not seeing myself. So what happens is your mind, as a way to feel seen by the external, as a way to avoid the internal, is you do and you show up for everybody else so that they can validate you. But the catch is, most of the time we're doing all this showing up for everybody else, and they're not asking us to do that. We just automatically jump to, oh, I want to show up and I want to do this for you and I want you to appreciate me. It's almost like the example of opening the door for somebody. You open the door for somebody and they don't say thank you. You get in your feelings, but it's like they never asked you to open the door for them to begin with. So why are you getting upset? It's because you wanted some sort of validation from them, because you're not validating the part of you that you're trying to run away from. Not saying you do it for that, but that's just the example. So what you're saying is you want to feel seen and validated by external things, but what's really happening is that part inside of you is wanting you to validate and see it, but you're still running away from it by trying to do it for other people. You want the external validation to make you feel internally good, and that will never happen. So what happens is when you want the external validation to feel internally good, what you're really doing is furthering your way from the part of you that feels like you're not enough, or the part of you that feels like you don't matter. So no matter what, even if your son was to say, I see you, I appreciate you, it won't hit the same because energetically that 5-year-old or that 10-year-old, whatever, however old the part is, it still doesn't feel seen and validated by you. And that's what you feel. It's trying to get your attention, but you're trying to get validation from everybody else when all it really wants is for you to validate it.
Okay, so how do you do that?
So the ways in which you do it is, one, you click the link in my bio and you book a session. But you ask yourself, how do I feel right now? So a lot of times people don't understand. You can only feel two real things. Your body either feels safe, unsafe, or neutral, which is like peace and calm and I'm okay. So it's pain, pleasure, or neutral is another form of saying it. So usually when you feel that a sensation, don't associate the sensation to the story that your mind is telling you. So there's no such thing. People always be like, I got anxiety, I got depression. There's no such thing as anxiety and depression. If you really want to break it down, they're the same exact thing. Anxiety is more so future, quote unquote, future-based pain. But when you understand you can't feel future-based pain, you feel past-based pain that you're projecting into the future. So depression is suppressing past pain, but that's the same thing as anxiety. It's just you're associating it to a future and you're bringing that past pain into the future with you. Like I tell people, there's no such thing as fearing the unknown. What your fear is, the past experience that you're projecting into the unknown and saying you fear the unknown. But so the ways in which you do it is, one, ask yourself, how does your body feel? Like, do you feel a tightness in your chest? Do you feel your throat closing up? Do you feel a tingling sensation in your arm? That is what you feel, not the story that your mind is telling you how you feel, because your mind can't feel. So what the mind is going to do is associate the bodily sensation to an external experience. So that's why you project onto the external, because your mind is telling you you only feel this way based on the external thing, when it's not the external thing that causes you to feel this way. It's an internal thing. So you ask yourself, okay, what am I feeling in my body? What do you actually feel? Okay, you feel a tightness in your chest. Beautiful. That means you're aware of, you feel the tightness in your chest. And then the question is, how do you feel about that tightness? Do you like it? You don't like it? You want it to be gone? You wish it was never there? 10 times out of 10 times, you don't like it. So now when you understand, one, you have the awareness to realize, okay, I feel a tightness in my chest. I'm not the tightness that I feel. And two, there's a part of me that's judging it. The mind is what's judging it. The mind is what's telling you, I don't like how this feels. That's what's creating a disconnect within you, because the sensation that you're feeling is that part of you trying to connect to you, the 5-year-old part of you trying to connect to you. But as long as the mind is telling you, I don't like how this feels, the mind will always distract you from that sensation. So after you ask yourself, how do I feel about it? And it's like, I don't like it. You ask the mind part to take a step back, because the mind is clouding your judgment from being able to connect to that. Because as long as your mind, which is supposed to do, is protecting you from that sensation, because the mind thinks you're about to die. If I allow you to access this sensation, that means you're about to die. And I don't want you to die. So I'm going to distract you. I'm going to make that sensation wrong. I'm going to try to do everything in my power to get you to avoid that. So when you ask it to take a step back or go to a comfortable place, then you can ask yourself, how do I feel about it now? And a lot of times it's like, oh, it feels lighter. Okay. Oh, I feel like I kind of want to get to know it a little bit better. That's that's you now being able to recognize, making that part feel seen, heard, and validated.
Wow. Wow. Is that what's keeping so many of us from healing? That association,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Because I tell people there's nothing wrong with you. It's a trauma response. You have to, your mind has to do that. So healing means to incorporate, which means coming together. And what happens is people believe they're broken, so they try to fix themselves. But as long as you're living in the story of you're broken and you're trying to fix yourself, you're always disconnecting from the parts of you that you're associating to the brokenness. You're not broken. You don't need to heal, quote unquote, in regards to something's broken and I need to fix it. The healing means to incorporate. The healing means to come together with. So what you need to do is come together with the parts of you that's been disconnected, the parts of you that's left in the past. And when you do that,
and really face it head on.
Yes, face it head on and really just listen to it. Because all trauma is just unexpressed and unexperienced emotions being trapped inside of the body. And a lot of times people think trauma, like you can have a release, you can get a massage and you start to cry and you release the emotion. And they feel like, yeah, I feel so much better. I let go of the trauma. The trauma isn't the emotion that you release. The trauma is more so associated to the story of what that part of you felt in that experience in which it felt unsafe. So when you actually connect to that part and you take that part out of the story of living in the role of I'm broken, I'm hurt, I'm not enough, I don't matter, then you actually, quote unquote, heal, because now it feels seen, heard, and validated by you versus you doing the massage and you releasing the tension and you crying because it feels so good.
You know, it's crazy. One time I told my mom, she was a realtor. She was taking cookies up to her office, right? And my mom likes to bake, and today's her 85th birthday.
Happy birthday, mom.
And I told her, she said, I'm not going to take cookies up there anymore because I don't feel like I'm appreciated for doing it. And so I'm not taking cookies up to the office anymore. And I said to her, so isn't it funny how you can pick up bits and pieces? And I said, Mom, were you taking cookies up there because you was trying to get somebody to appreciate you? Is that why you did it? I said, because if you did it for that reason, that's the wrong reason. I said, maybe you like making cookies and that's what you like doing. And if you feel like making cookies and you want to take them up there, just take them up there, but don't have any expectation that that people are not appreciating it, right? So I mean, I'm sure some of these things I probably, you know, I got, because I know what you did for me also when we had our call is that I had conversations with my sons, I had conversation with my mother, and I could see, whereas I think I, you know, a lot of us baby boomers, and then, you know, the previous, there's two sets of baby boomers, and a lot of us have been told how we regulate our emotion was just to get over it.
I'm sure
you heard of it. We just like get over it, and it's a good coping mechanism for the world, right? Because the world isn't always a safe place. And it does keep you going. It does, but it doesn't mean that you've healed that part that will continue to come up if you don't at least recognize it, right?
Absolutely. It will always come up. Now. And that's what I tell people, like even with relationships.
Yes.
I say this was one of my quotes. I said, the person you choose to be in a romantic relationship with is just the external manifestation of how you internally feel about yourself energetically. Therefore, they'll reflect how you actually feel about yourself, the parts of yourself, which is, I'm not enough, I don't matter, they need to validate me. We use relationships as a way to neglect ourselves. So now you want this person to love all the parts of you that you don't love about yourself. And then you make them wrong for not loving you the way in which you don't love yourself. That's
hands up. Because I just had this conversation. You bring a lot out of, you know, things that maybe you were ignoring or you thought, or you, like you said, that whole thing of wanting to be right. And I just literally experienced this with a person I was in a long-term relationship with. And I felt like, but I was there for you all the time. I was all for you. So I don't understand why there's the anger where, you know, like it's not possible. I think you and I kind of talked about this, where it's not possible to be friends at this point, because I felt like I did everything right. But again, when you told me that, I started thinking about this particular person, their family, the way they were raised, they don't have communication. They don't communicate.
Absolutely.
So if I'm fight, my family's fight, his family is flight. We just avoid situations. We do stuff. We look the other way. We don't address things. And then here I am constantly trying to make a person fight. That's not where they're comfortable. But I use it to say, well, you should do this because I did that. Right?
Now you make your
And
mind.
I,
You're right, yeah.
yeah, and I realized after I'd did it quite a few times that, oh, that's why that person doesn't want to talk to me now, because I get it. I get why they don't want to talk to me, because who wants to constantly, if they're not on a journey to heal and work on themselves, who wants to be around someone that's forcing that?
Absolutely. And that comes back to the emotional safety. And that was what the ghosting thing, that's what the biggest point that I was making is
Yep.
a lot of times we try to force. I know I'll just use me as an example. I used to Once I really learned this stuff, before I actually had my own experience to where I had to go deep within myself to realize how unsafe I was, I used to try to force, and my mind would tell me, pretty much it was an unconscious thing, actually. I would try to force people to open up so I can show them how safe I was. And it's
Right.
like, in the aspect of me forcing them to do it, it only showed how unsafe I was because I wasn't actually listening to them, because energetically, I wasn't listening to myself. So I was trying
Yeah.
to help them cope by telling
Yep.
them how safe I was, by forcing them to come out of that experience. Like, I can help you. Come on, get out, get out. I'm gonna help you out of this. I'm to try to validate myself so that they can validate me by, oh, you helped me, you did this. I used to do the same thing. And then I realized how unsafe it was because energetically I was unsafe to me. So I was going to project that unsafety to other people. And then they would always, I would feel like, oh, they don't appreciate me. They don't know how valuable I am. All these stories that my mind, again, your mind wants to create a hero and it wants to create the villain. So I made them the villain so I could be the hero to coping with how I felt. And anytime you want to cope, that means you're really disconnected. That means there's still hurt inside of you. So a lot of times that's what I was doing. I was coping to try to see, want them to see the my worth. I would always say, I don't want them to feel this way. Self-neglect 101, when in reality, I didn't want to feel this way. It was just easier for me to make it about them so I can continue to neglect myself.
Oh my gosh, I like that on steroids. I
Yeah.
was constantly it, here's the way I'll say it. I was constantly being the shero, but in the end, I ended up being the villain.
Absolutely, 100%, because that's what you're doing to that part of you that you felt. I didn't. I 100. We all do it. It's an
Yeah.
unconscious thing we don't even realize. And it's like, damn, how do you not see the work, my worth, and how do you not see the value that I'm bringing to you? And a lot of times they don't ask us to bring that to them. We're just in our minds, we don't feel like we're enough. So we go above and beyond to try to show them how much we are enough. But
Oh yeah,
energetically,
above
that.
and beyond. And the funny thing about it is the people who didn't do that for him, or who were reckless, were the people he was more comfortable with.
Absolutely, because
He wasn't, go ahead.
he could be he you know when he's showing up and being there for them, he's neglecting himself, and that's what he learned. He learned to neglect himself by not being able to express how he actually felt about himself. I tell this to people all the time. This is my favorite question to ask. How does what that person did or said reveal how you feel about yourself?
Oh, yeah.
So
Oh,
now you
no,
can't.
no, I'm saying I get it, because I can see how I'm neglecting myself.
No, I was
I.
for him, that's why he self-neglect is the first language. So we learn to be good, like, I'm good, I can handle this, I can put up with this, so I don't want them to do it. So it's in them being chaotic, quote unquote, and how they were for him, it made him feel like he's the hero. He's the hero
Right.
now. But in
Right.
reality, he was really being a victim to himself. He was really neglecting himself more and more the more he showed up for other people. So that's why energetically he wouldn't be able to, quote unquote, appreciate you, because if you showed up for him, who's going to be the hero? He couldn't be living a story of him being the hero now.
I didn't get it. I didn't. I didn't get it. I was just like angry about it, because in my world, again, it felt different. Ex when people, I like it when people show up for you. Like, I like it. I like that. Yeah. And you don't realize until you look at the what they call it, the pathology or the family. Like, if this is when
Absolutely.
I started looking at it, like you told me to, and I started going back, and I was like, oh wow, this is how they the and not to blame,
Yeah, no
again,
blame,
taking
no
the blame
blame
out,
at all.
it
Nobody
but
gets the
just
best.
the yeah just the this is how they operate. like
Absolutely.
him, his brothers, his family. That's how I was like, wow, this is how they operate. Like they literally operate like this, but I wasn't seeing it. I was just thinking, oh, let me save this person. Right.
Absolutely.
And then it turns into resentment.
100%, because now they're reflecting how you actually feel about yourself. So now you want to show them that you feel like you're enough, quote unquote, by doing stuff so that they can validate you are enough. But energetically, they're only going to reflect the part of you that actually feels like you're not enough. That's why you feel it.
Yeah.
So it's like I tell people this all the time. What I do is help end generational curses. And it's not me that's helping end generational curses. It's more so helping connect to themselves, because all generational curses is generational trauma being passed down. So energetically, the kids, as kids, we might not always listen to our parents, but we will 100% mimic how they are energetically with themselves. So if his mom,
Wow.
whenever his mom would get mad or angry, how does she react? She does she suppress? Does she react from it? Does she punish somebody else? Does she blame other people? Or does she go in a room and close the door and not talk to nobody else? That's what
Right.
we pick up on.
Wow. I saw that when you said his mother said nothing.
Yeah, and that's where he learned that behavior from, because energetically, when we grow up as kids, we are groomed in the environment where it's teaching us how to survive, not how
Yeah.
to live. So he Your mind, I say this all the time, you get traumatized by pain, but not traumatized by happiness.
Yeah, because I in our family, what I saw, I can only speak for what I saw. My mom is a fighter. I was raised by my stepdad. My stepdad, he didn't walk away from nothing. Nothing. Like he was the epitome of I'm gonna stand up and fight that.
Absolutely.
So I never saw fear. Let me just say, yeah, I didn't see fear. I didn't see fear in my mother, and I didn't see fear in my father. I didn't see fear. I wasn't afraid. So it's just so powerful. I wanted people to really get a chance to hear. That's why I wanted to, give that transparency, give that story. Because there's so many layers to this, and they're just going to get. I want people to listen to, because we're going to have another one. This part
Oh yeah,
one, everybody, this part one.
part
This is the intro. And I know some other people that have contacted you
one.
through my recommendation, and I've heard, how powerful it was to them without going into detail into whatever their trauma and things was. But you have a way about what you do. And let me say this, I was surprised that a 28-year-old could tell this 64-year-old person anything. But here's what's funny. On my Facebook, you can see your analytics, and you might have saw me say this. My audience, the people that love me the most, are millennial men. So to have, this young man, it fit into that category. And I'm like, oh my God, this is good, because maybe that's how I could just really relate. Because I always tell everybody, I was born a boomer, but I'm a millennial.
Yeah, got a lot of energy for sure.
mindset. So I just wanted people to get a chance to hear from you. I haven't done my podcast in a while, but I'm reintroducing some things. And what I want to do, why I thought it was important to start with you and to continue, is because I want to hear dialogue with people. I want to hear something that isn't just so critical of people. I want to hear people's authenticity. And I don't want to hear, I want, I prefer, that's just me. I prefer, and I think there's a lot of people that want to hear the same thing. They don't want to hear judgment about what you think about what makes a perfect woman or a perfect man or anything. Nobody wants to hear that. I don't want to hear it. But I think there's a group of us in this world who want to hear something authentic and something that maybe we didn't think about it that way, right?
Absolutely.
So even at 64, I can say I'm open to the possibilities that maybe there was there has, I'm clear there has from my conversation with you, there's been a piece of me that I've been doing it in, I don't want to say the wrong way, but in a way that's not healthy or beneficial to me.
Survivor. Yeah, it was what I tell people is up until this point, the parts of you that was been neglecting other parts of you was doing the best to help you get to this point that you're at now. So to make those
Yes.
parts wrong for helping you get to this part now would be a disservice to them, because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be here. So it's like learning to appreciate and honor them in a sense of loving them and bringing them into you. It's almost like, thank you for being here and helping me get to this point thus far. Now you can relax and take a vacation, and I'll take it from you.
Yes. And I want to add something to that because I this did something for me when I heard the story. I think I've told you how I like Mark Mason, the subtle art guy, the subtle art of not giving up. Yeah. He's young just like you too. So he said something somewhere in his book. There's something that I think we, especially people of color, might need to really think about. And it's a story about how there was a lot of bad times for people, the Irish culture, or people who are come from Irish background. I think Irish, or is it Irish or Polish? Anyways, Irish. There's a story that says that the way you just said it, the way they look at life is that if that had not happened, I wouldn't have been here. And that gives them gratitude for whatever came before. And I mean, I'm sure people can say, yeah, but okay, but it, I think it has a lot to do with what you're saying is that I can be grateful for what came before me, that person. So here I am, here, Robin, but I can be grateful for the Robin that came before me, flawed, unhealed, whatever, right? But whatever she did, she got me here.
Absolutely.
Okay. So there's nothing. There, and again, we always have this right or wrong thing. There's nothing I can embrace, let's say it that way. I can embrace the next journey while I'm breathing, while I'm here on earth, while I'm alive. I can appreciate that I have the opportunity to grow better, or I could grow further.
Just grow. Yeah, it's just natural. I can appreciate the fact that I can grow, because a lot of times people like you be the best version of you, and it's like you only are one version of yourself, and that is the best version of yourself. That's it. It's
Yeah.
just in the story of us diminishing or belittling the parts of us that we don't like. We're like, there's a better version of me out there, and it's like, no, it's not. It doesn't exist. That's the story your mind is telling you as a way to escape from how you the parts of you that feel like you're not enough or you don't matter.
Yeah.
And even I was going to the disclaimer too. The thing that I do is called IFS, internal family system, but the ways in which I go about doing it is completely different. Like I do the initial, how does it make you feel about yourself, and all, or how do you feel about that part that way? But then there's a deeper version of it, because a lot of times people don't understand the connection to our relationship to ourselves and relationship to other people. Next time we talk, we can go deeper into like my views on relationships and whatnot, because I'm a big component of outside of being in your own head about being in a relationship. Where are you actually in a relationship at? It doesn't exist. It only exists in your mind. So what we do is we create this idea of a person for being a certain way as a way to escape from how we feel. It's a trauma response. So now we fantasize about this person being a certain way, without realizing we're not loving them for who they are, because we don't love ourselves. You can only love another person to the level in which you love yourself.
Yeah, I
And
get it now.
that's it. It hits differently. I'm telling you, like when at like having these sessions and hearing people's like experiences afterwards and how they can relate. Like I remember I was working with a client and she had told me how she just felt like she was just this awful mom. And after we had our session, I energetically, ironically, her son came up to her and was like, I love you. You're the best mom ever. And she was like, I was able to relate to it. She was like, she just broke down and crying because she was able to relate to it. And she realized she is a great mom. But for so long, she was living in a story of she wasn't a great mom. Even with relationships, I have sessions with people when they've been in relationships that they didn't like or they wanted to get out of, but energetically they couldn't. And this session with somebody they realized as a kid, their relationship that they were in currently was based on a childhood experience in which their cousin, who was like their best friend, had passed. And their cousin was teaching them how to swim and how to do all these things. So when they got in that new relationship, the person energetically reflected that cousin And that's why she stayed with him, because it was like the part of her was still attached to longing for her cousin and not being able to release the expressing and how she actually felt about her cousin passing. So it's just like stuff like that, and understanding the correlation to the external has a lot to do with energetically how we feel about ourselves internally.
I had a ex-husband that said once, why would you be angry that a person no longer wanted to be with you anymore? Like, why would that bother you so much? And I mean, when you hear certain things now, you think, I wonder, is that what that person meant when they said it? Like, I think what he was trying to say though is that you don't control another person. You don't control another human being. So why that shouldn't make you angry that you don't control them, but what the majority of us are, we are angry that we don't control you.
Because that means that you're going to feel the hurt. And anytime a person has control issues, that just means they're hurt. They're trying to protect themselves from the hurt that they feel. And that's, again, it's a trauma response. I tell this to people all the time. You never hear a person say, I want to accept all parts of you. Let's be in a relationship. It wouldn't make any sense. Why do you need to be in a relationship in order to ex accept all parts of them? You don't get into a relationship to love a person. You get into a relationship to n not love yourself, to neglect yourself. And now you want this person to be a certain way. And then when they don't be a certain way, you feel some type of way because now you're my partner. You're supposed to behave this way. You're supposed to do all. It's like, what makes a person yours outside of the conversation of y'all making an agreement, which it still don't make sense to me. I don't get it. Outside of y'all making an agreement, why is that person now belong to you just based on y'all that agreement? For me, it's like, what is the root of that agreement? You only want to make an agreement with the person as a way to run away from the hurt that you never learned to regulate within yourself.
And to control them.
And that's why you do it. It's the way to control. So now, when that person does this, I'm trying to avoid from feeling this hurt, but energetically, they're going to reflect the hurt that you feel based on how you interpret what they're saying or what they're doing. The internal reflects the external. So how you interpret stuff will always reflect how you feel about yourself. It's not them that anything.
It's a freedom, I will say, and
Big
it's a
freedom.
journey. It's definitely a journey, especially if you haven't heard things in this way. Like you said, I wrote down about like when we're born. I remember I read this book called The Road Less Traveled, and one of the things, it's a psychology book actually, and one of the things I took a workshop and she said that when you're born, you're a blank slate. But then society, your parents, the schools, the church, everybody then puts their stuff on you.
Program.
So, you get, so it's like, how do you know who you really are if we're, it's so funny, people always say, oh, we were given free will. Were you really? Were we?
It can't be free will as long as there's a punishment for doing it. It's not free. If I say
Well,
this is free, but if you take it, I'm a whoop you. If you do this, you have the freedom to do whatever you want. But if you do this, I'm gonna punish you. You're not gonna run into pain unless you're highly traumatized to where you learn the pain feels good as a way to help you escape from how you feel. But that's the misconception is a lot of times we use words out of context. I'm big on getting to the root cause or root reason of why that word is the way it is. Free will, those things, it's an illusion. As long as you believe it's free, then you'll always try to get it. But when you understand free will isn't based on the freedom, it's based on locking a person up, restricting a person. So now it's like you have the freedom to do this, but if you do do this, you will be punished. But you have the freedom to do it, though. You have free, and it's like, yeah, it's not as free as there. If there's going to be a punishment associated to it, then it's not really free. As long as
Yeah,
they're paying there.
I think about that sometimes when I hear people, mostly salespeople. I did a post about that, is that I feel like when people are, it's almost like they're telling you you're not good enough if you don't do this. Well,
Absolutely.
if you don't do this, by this age, you should have been doing this. And by this age, you should be doing that. And you should, and it's like the very people that when we watched the pandemic that didn't want to be told what to do, love to tell other people what to do. Think about that. The very people that don't want to be told what to do
I love telling other people what to do.
Love telling people what to do. Like, so
Absolutely.
anyway, but I, like I said, we all have to check ourselves with that. So I want to say this last thing, because like I said, it's not the end, but we're coming up on an hour, and I want to make sure everybody, you know how people are, we got short attention span. So I
Yeah,
want,
for sure.
right? So is a big way to move in this space in a free way? Is it does it all come, not all of it necessarily, but does is a major part of it communication with each other?
It's communication is a form of it, but I think it's big on understanding. So a lot of times when we try to communicate or comprehension, a lot of times when you try to communicate, you could say words. Like I use the example, I could say the sky is blue, but the way you interpret me saying the sky is blue is that the sky is not green and green is your favorite color. So now you're making it. I tell people the only way you can feel
Oh
some type of way
God.
about something that has nothing to do with you is to make it about you. So now if I said,
Wow.
oh, the sky is blue, and you interpret me saying the sky is not green and green your favorite color, you're going to react a certain way based on what I just said. So now it's not based on communication because I communicated that to you. It's more comprehension and understanding. And a lot of times we don't understand the mechanism that's governing how we interpret what's going on. And that mechanism that's governing how we interpret it, what's going on, is usually linked to some type of hurt. So that hurt is trying to get your attention, but our mind again will distract us from it and have us running away from it. So it's more so understanding. That's why the ghosting thing was the way it was. People didn't understand the mechanism of why people ghost, quote unquote. But then we want to make them wrong for ghosting, but energetically we were very unsafe because they couldn't come talk to us. That's why they didn't. And then we
That
made them
that's
wrong for it, type of thing. So, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, that that's that boy, I'm gonna be listening to this again. To for everybody listening, there's also a part in this book that I, read many years ago that actually helped. But this is something I think that has to be ongoing. And one of the things that they said was, when you say, just like you described with the sky, when you describe, when you have to, it's important to make sure you're seeing the same color blue. So if I say blue, and in my mind, I see powder blue, but you see teal blue, we're not seeing the same thing. We're
Absolutely.
not, we're just not on a necessarily, like I said, on the same page. But I think this is really something that could be so helpful, your conversations with a lot of people, because I think it helps you to step back. And we're gonna do more of these. We're gonna talk some more. Tell everybody how they can reach you, Najee.
You can follow me on IG, underscore Najee27. You can follow me on Facebook at Najee Pritchett, the emotional awareness specialist. TikTok, underscore Najee27. YouTube, I ain't been posting on my YouTube, but I'm about to start back the same thing, underscore Najee27. But mostly IG and Facebook is the biggest things that I be
And
on.
spell it for everybody too, so that they know.
Najee, NAJEE. 27 and Najee Pritchett, NAJEE PRITCHETT, the emotional awareness specialist.
Woo! Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much.
No problem. Thank you. I
Thank you so
appreciate you.
much. I'll be
Yeah.
sharing this with everybody. Hey, you guys, thank you for helping me with this reboot. What better time to reboot is May 1st. It is again my mom's birthday. So what better time for me to kick this off again? So I will be bringing you part two with Najee's. Very important. If you guys have anything that you want to talk about, I'll also be posting his calendar link here on the podcast. So if you would like to schedule some time with him, please do. I just cannot say enough about this young man. I cannot say enough about the way he is able to articulate what, yeah, you're doing such a great job. I'm really super, super proud of you and what you're doing, and you would get out here and heal the world, right?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Likewise, just the journey and seeing the growth within the conversation and how much aware you've became. Like I tell people, it's not about quote unquote healing. It's just more so about becoming more aware. So now you're recognizing the mechanism that's governing why you think the way you think versus just reacting from it. And that's what it's all about, understanding why do I think this way? Where is this coming from? And a lot of it's based on your parents or based on childhood trauma or so on and so forth. So it's dope to hear you be able to recognize and understanding the stuff that's happening in your life and being able to share with your sons and just the people you're close to. So I'm definitely proud of you as well. And I appreciate you so much for just being you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, you guys. So just take a listen, share this with your family and friends, and we will see you next week.
Absolutely. I was going to say one more thing. One more thing. Yes. If they have any questions, if they have any questions or anything, DM me questions, or they can reach out to you. And on the next podcast, if they want questions asked or answered, just message me or message you, and we can add those to the questionnaire whenever we have our next podcast.
It's wonderful. That feeling and sensation you talk about, mm-hmm. of feeling lighter.
Absolutely.
And that, ooh, that different. Is a great feeling.
Yeah, it's and, different. And,
yeah, it's never too late, just never, so you guys know.
Never, no matter how old you are. No,
it's never too late. All right, Najee, thank you so much again, okay. And we'll be talking real soon.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Have a good one.
All right, bye, you guys. Bye-bye.